We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
B. Mitch and Finley, we are back, and we have bad news. It appears something has gone awry with PFT commenters' plans to hang out at the Margaritaville Resort in Times Square. For more on this breaking news story, let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. PFT commenter joins us live. PFT, what's the latest, man? We're worried. We're worried about you.
It is with a heavy heart, JP and B. Mitch, that I must announce that the Times Square Margaritaville has not, I repeat, has not opened up in time for its own opening weekend that was supposed to take place today. And as you both know, as I've said for the last month and a half, as it's been the most anticipated vacation I think I have ever planned in advance, I did have reservations, in fact, for this weekend on opening weekend in Times Square at the Margaritaville, the Margaritaville Resort, Times Square, New York City. And the plan has gone awry. It's not open.
So what happened?
Be stopping by. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if they the blender went down. I don't know if they're. I don't know.
Tell them I can ship them my margarita machine.
I don't know what could possibly make the Margaritaville Resort not open up. I don't think I want to know, because I feel like that's a place that was probably under a significant amount of pressure to open up on time, because it's just losing money every day that's not open. So I'm kind of curious to know, you know, what kind of Russian Sochi Olympics hotel disasters are going on right now at the Margaritaville in Times Square, where they didn't feel comfortable opening the doors. And I'm a pretty easy customer. I would not have cared if the shower didn't work, if one of the beds was on fire. I honestly wouldn't care. Just give me a place where I can sleep at night, and then give me my selection of five different restaurants and tropical themed bars, all built around the world's most luxurious 10-person swimming pool in the heart of Times Square. I would have been fine with that. I kidded last night on Part of My Take that I packed my bags because I was so excited about going, even though it was only about a 10-block drive from my actual house. I actually did pack a bag. I was looking forward to this so much. You guys know, I told you about it like a month ago. And yeah, I'm disappointed, but there's a silver lining in every cloud, does mean that I'm going to be able to attend Willie Colon's big throwdown bash that he does every year at his house. So, B. Mitch, I've heard that you throw some pretty significant parties at your place. I'm told that Willie's is the one to end them all. So I'll have to report back about that.
All right.
We'll need a report on that next week. I actually, thoughts and prayers for your Margaritaville trip.
Thank you.
I was listening to Pardon My Take earlier this week, and you had Will Compton on, former Redskins linebacker, and he was talking up Tress Way's ping pong game on the podcast. Were you aware of Tress's ping pong prowess?
I was not. I was not aware of that. They've kept that a pretty closely guarded secret, and I think I know why, because Ron Rivera actually took the ping pong table out of the locker room.
It was the first thing he did when he got the job.
And I think I screwed up, guys. You'll see this maybe in the next week. I don't know when the video is going to be made public. I got a chance to speak with Coach Rivera on Wednesday, I believe. And I told him that I heard that Tress Way is a great ping pong player. And his face, it was pretty like jovial phone call that we had. It was lighthearted. But when I said that, his face just like went stone and he goes, "You know, I took that ping pong table out of the locker room." And I was like, "Oh my God, did I just narc on Tress Way?" And Tress, if you're out there, I feel bad. I tried to cover for you best that I could. But yeah, apparently he's a really, really good ping pong player. And I would love to get some sort of competition going against, maybe with our guy over here, Jake, who is the best in the office. He's the best one here at Barstool Sports. And I think maybe we'll have to make a swing by there during training camp. That seems like a trip that we have been long overdue to make, is a trip through Ashburn, maybe get up with Fitzy and Rivera and see if we can have Jake take on Tress Way. But yeah, that is allegedly the truth. So
you may have to do it somewhere else, because the ping pong table is not there. But I think if they start winning, maybe it comes back, because you got to have your perspective right.
I mean, for years I was in that locker room every day with the ping pong table, and it is absolutely correct. Tress and Dustin Hopkins are elite ping pong players, and Tress can beat Hopkins. Tress is a buddy too. I could get that set up I'll text you about it offline. But
That sounds awesome. Let's do that. And that's the like classic new coach thing. When they get to a new city, you either have to like put a ping pong table in, or you have to take a ping pong table out of the locker room, just to change the mood. It's like, I think they did that up in Buffalo when McDermott went up there. He just like removed every single thing that was fun out of the locker room. And it's such a classic like kicker and punter thing to be the best ones on the team. At playing,
they got time to kill.
They can do that and play hacky sack
and golf.
Yeah,
Tress,
yeah, exactly.
Tress can golf too.
I ghost both of them in golf.
You and Tress would be a very good match.
I beat him.
We'll set that up too. Dude, PFT, this is a serious one. Did you hear Lewis Riddick talking about the Washington football team earlier this week?
So I saw like a quote card on Twitter. So maybe I saw it out of context, but I'm going to choose to ride with what he's saying, which what I saw was he says that the Washington football team should be the favorites to win the NFC Beast division. Is that correct?
He does. Can we play that, Landfill? I'd like to play it for you, PFT, just because there's two kind of competing things in this to me. Go ahead and play it, Landfill, please.
Look, we should be running some Washington highlights up on the screen right now because this is the football team. This is the football team, literally and figuratively, in the NFC East that we should be talking about. Why? As long as Ryan Fitzpatrick is able to give them competent quarterback play, not superstars, just top 15 to 16. It's the truth, though. It's the truth, though, Martin. It's the truth. Look, you saw him. Look, he got cicadas in his beard and stuff. He's always making jokes now. He's like the talk of the town every time the media's around. But the truth is this. They have got players all over the place. They got players at wide receiver. They got two good running backs. As long as them off at the tackles hold up on the offensive line, they're good to go. And defensively, you know, they got some bad boys up front on the front seven.
Yeah.
And now they added some playmakers in the back end, too. They got William Jackson, look, from Cincinnati as a UFA. Washington's for real. As much as people don't want to maybe admit that, as much as people maybe hate that football team, this team is for real. They should be, they're the clear-cut favorites in the East. Clear-cut.
So, BFT, to me, everything Riddick says makes sense, but it brings two questions. Do you agree that they're the clear-cut favorite in the East? And do you agree that kind of the rest of the league or the rest of fans, whatever Lewis is trying to say, hate Washington and don't want to admit that they're building a really good squad?
I don't think that anybody should be the clear-cut favorite in the NFC East. I don't think that never makes sense to me, because if you just look at the history of the last 15 years, it's usually a different team that wins every single year. Like, we don't have any team that goes back-to-back, really, in this division.
There hasn't been back-to-back winners since Bemich was playing for the Eagles in the early 2000s.
A long time ago.
There you go. So, like, I don't think anyone should ever be a clear-cut favorite in the NFC East to do it back-to-back. And that said, like, I do think that when you have a great defense like we have, and you've got the huge question is quarterback, obviously. And it's like, if you don't know who your starting quarterback is, I don't think that you should be clear-cut anything. Like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Anything could happen. Like, we could be a great team next year. We could be a poor team next year because there's so many question marks at, like, the most important position in sports. So I don't know about clear cut, but I like hearing it, I guess. Like, it's fun that I get to cheer for a team that might have some expectations for once. So I approve of that side of it. But, yeah, as far as clear cut goes, I respect the take from Lewis Riddick. He is an entertainer and a good one at that. He's pretty knowledgeable usually. So in terms of, like, saying outlandish things to get people's attention, I think this is a pretty good one. So hats off to Lewis Riddick on this one.
You think he's trying to get followers?
I mean, I think that if you work at ESPN, you know that it's a good thing if people are talking about something that you said. You remember Ron Jaworski? I think it was like 7 years ago, when he said that Colin Kaepernick could be the best quarterback of all time in the history of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did was, because people talked about that, then they booked him on other shows at ESPN where he would go on and defend his take. And then the bottom line ticker would, like, update with what Ron Jaworski had just said about Ron Jaworski's own take. And so it became like a month long of just interviewing Ron Jaworski about Ron Jaworski. And that's what you have to do on ESPN. You have to make your own headlines.
Once you get that churn going, wash, you just stay in it.
Exactly. You got to ride the take. It's no different than surfing. And so Lewis is catching one here. And I respect it, and I hope that he's right. But I don't know if there's a way that you can realistically say that we should be the clear-cut favorites.
But what about the other part in there where he says, I know people hate to admit it. I know that people don't like to respect it. For me, in covering Washington and going to the combine, and PFT, you're at these things when you're with, like, the whole NFL kind of converges in one city. Like, B, when we go to the Super Bowl and stuff, I feel like the national vibe about the Washington football team has been more of irrelevance than of disrespect.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Although I do hear, like, from people behind the scenes sometimes that they always refer to the Washington football team as a clown show. And that's been the last, 20 years. I can't speak to the new regime here.
Yeah.
But I've always heard that exact phrase for whatever reason, which is not a great one. If you had to pick a nickname for your franchise, it probably wouldn't be the clown show. But I don't know what that means when they say that. I don't know why they're calling it. I don't know any of the, like, sorted details behind the scenes. But when you hear the CS word repeatedly for about 10 years, then there's probably, where there's smoke, there's seltzer in this case. And I think that Like, there's probably some disrespect amongst league circles about the Washington football team. I don't know about fans. Maybe there is, too. I think with fans, it's more so a case of irrelevance because, you know, we haven't won a playoff game since, what was it, 2006? 2000,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2006 at Tampa Bay. So, like, I understand that aspect of relevance. I don't think that there's disrespect. I don't get disrespected from, you know, like, fans of actual successful franchises. Like,
there you go.
I work with a lot of Patriots fans, and I walk into the office wearing a football team shirt, and nobody says a word, which is way worse than if I walked in and they were like, take that shirt off. You know, like, I would at least like to be disrespected because that means that, you know, there's some sort of threat posed there. But, yeah, I do think that, like, it's looking good right now. It does feel different, and I think that the new regime has done pretty good so far. The proof's going to be in the pudding next year and see what we can do with this great defense. But yeah, I don't really see the disrespect card as often as maybe I would like to.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think when you go around fans of teams that you beat, they dislike you. If they beat you all the time, they don't care. And I think ultimately this is talking about all the off-field stuff, which don't make a bit of damn difference to me, to be honest with you. I think if they're winning on the field, no one is discussing that.
Yeah, and you played for both the football team and for the Eagles, and I remember, I distinctly remember.
And the Giants.
And the Giants, yeah. People forget about that one. What was your stat line with the Giants, B-Mitch?
Not good. Team was awful, too.
That was a fat check, though. One last fat check.
Ching, ching.
Yeah, the money spins just the same. But I remember the moment that I realized that the Washington football team Dallas Cowboys rivalry somehow became less intense than the Cowboys Eagles rivalry. And I honestly, like, that more than anything led me to start, like, not enjoying football as much, because that was some of the, you know, most fun memories that I had. That's like, I grew up a fan of the Redskins or the football team, and I would always, like, you know, you look forward to Dallas week. We want Dallas. It was something that it was fun to get mad at the Dallas Cowboys. It's fun to hate on their stupid players. And then once I realized it was like unreciprocated hatred. And that makes you feel like such a loser when you hate somebody that really doesn't care about you at all. And at that point I was like, man, some of the magic's gone out of this franchise. And I remember that feeling distinctly. I hope that we can get it back. Last year, I think, was a good start to it. But if we can get some of that good old-fashioned, like, D.C., Dallas, absolute pure hatred going on, man, that would make me very, very happy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I do think it's important. The clown show element is gone, as long as it remains gone. You should be okay. And it's hard to know what will stay and what will go. Two things I had to ask you about quickly before we let you go, PFT. It's my understanding that a trash bag full of pot got thrown off a New York City roof.
Hell broke loose.
Have you been questioned by NYPD, by New York's finest, for any involvement with this trash bag full of weed?
Okay, so I go through life dealing with, you know, not a lot of discrimination. I'll be honest with you. As a white male, I got it pretty easy in a lot of stuff. But as a white male with long hair and stupid facial hair who oftentimes wears sunglasses, I get accused of being a drug guy a lot. And I'm not. I'm not a drug guy. People see me like, look at that hippie. I'm not a drug guy. I do enjoy an occasional, how do I put this delicately?
Cookie.
I like edibles. I like cookies. I smoke from time to time, but I'm not a drug guy. I'm certainly not the biggest drug guy that I know. But I do get profiled in situations like that. And usually it's, you know, I just kind of like, you know, it rolls off my back, except there was this one time when I was in Chicago and, I was walking down the street and I think I was wearing like a polo shirt and like khakis or something like that. And, this guy comes up to me just on the street of downtown Chicago. He's like, hey man, what you need? You need some coke? You need some weed? You need some H? What's up? And I honestly, in that moment, I was like, still got it. I'm still putting the vibes out there to this day. Although if a trash bag filled with weed had landed on my fire escape, I would take it inside and not call the police. It was not mine. I will. Do you know where it was found? Just so I can stop by and observe the crime scene.
Landfill had the news story. I don't know exactly where it was found, but I think it basically created a riot because all these people ran over to take the free weed falling from the sky.
Yeah, it's like making it rain at a strip club, except you're just giving the entire city block munchies. I love it.
Exactly. Last thing, we have Nate is joining us in studio today, and then we're going.
JP has out. Chapstick and new fresh deodorant on today, too. I don't know what him and Nate has going on, but I'm leaving the studio.
Good luck. Good luck. Nate is feeling himself today. So, don't ask him about Frank the Tank.
Yeah. I just
some
saw
bad
this.
Blood going on there.
Nate almost got into a fist fight on TV yesterday on one of the Barstool streams. What the hell happened? What are we getting like a out like a roided up Nate joining us today?
Yeah, because it's Nate. I mean, I can't really explain to you. You know Nate.
Yeah. He's an agitator.
He's an agitator at times, and he was certainly. I don't think he even knows that he was agitating yesterday. But him and Frank got into it in a cornhole match. And it ended up actually almost coming to blows. Nate said some things. Frank said some things. And then Nate, so he is a pit bull, right? And what's one defining characteristic of a pit bull is they have a hard time letting go of things that they've latched onto. So Nate got upset because people were mad at him. And then he just kept tweeting about it and talking about it. And we're like, Nate, if you need to like move off this, like if you want people to stop coming at you, just stop talking about it and it'll go away. But that's not the Nate dog. That's not the Nate dog that we know and love. So he just kind of kept going at it and at it and at it. And this morning, I think he issued an ultimatum to Frank. So yeah, you're going to get a fired up Nate. You're going to get like X-Pac Nate dog coming in today. Just DXing everybody. He's probably going to own that radio station by the time he's done.
I don't believe B. Mitch. Are you familiar with Frank the Tank? I'm going to show Brian this video in the break here, and I can't wait to see his reaction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Frank the Tank, he's a one-of-a-kind dude. He is the most diehard Mets fan that you'll ever meet in your life.
A physical specimen.
A physical specimen, absolutely. Now, to Frank the Tank's credit, I think he's lost like 100-and-something pounds since he started working here because he's, you know, getting up and going into the office, he's exercising, trying to eat right. So he's on a great path, but his body is still just like a mystery. His proportions are, they're unique, but he's a one-of-a-kind guy, a unique, brilliant brain. So we love Frank, we love Nate, and we're interested to see where this goes. But yeah, you're going to get a fired up Nate. He's going to be like a squirrel with a hornet up his butt today.
Dude, thank you very much. I'll text you about Tress. We'll get that all set up.
Sounds great, man.
All right, brother. Thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it. Good luck with Margaritaville.
See you guys.
All right, take care. That is PFT commenter. Only one of them in the world, Landfill. We still have callers that want to weigh in on Lewis Reddick's comments about the Washington football team. Happy to do that. And in 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Maria Torres talking about the Washington Nationals. Winners of four in a row have a big-time series against the first-place Mets. Starts tonight. Doing all that, 106.7 The Fan.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Landfill going a different direction with Vodka Red Bull Friday, huh?
Hits from the bomb.
I can sing this whole song, but I won't do it. Craig Heist loves Cypress Hill, right? Loves Cypress Hill. Hits. Listen, we still have people that want to talk about Lewis Riddick's comments about the Washington football team. Let's go right to the phone lines. Let's talk to our guy, Rick. Rick is on line two, Gambit DC listener lines. Rick, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitch and Finley. Do you think the Washington football team are the clear-cut favorites to win the NFC East?
Hey, JP and D. Mitch. No, there's no clear-cut favorite in the NFC East. I think it'll be between Washington, Dallas, and the Giants. For whatever reason, we have a problem with the Giants, whether they're good or bad. I mean, I just think I would put Daniel Jones as probably the second best quarterback in the division behind Dak Prescott. I think Jones will take a. I think he's going to take a step in the second year with Jason Garrett, and I just, you know, Fitzpatrick, he is what he is, man. I mean, what do we expect him to do after 15 years in the league? I mean, you know, can he get much better than he's ever been, or maybe it's solid to digress, but. I just think it's wide open for everybody in the division. And now with the receivers, do you think Samuel, McLaurin, and Cam Sims are the starters, or do you think Samuel is going to be on the outside with Humphries at the slot? How do you feel about that?
Thank you for the call, Rick. I think Washington has the best defense, and I think they – should be in position to win the NFC East. I think they have the best defense and the best coach. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's a question mark. Taylor Heineke's a question mark. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the receivers, it's kind of interesting you asked that because I just saw a list of ranking receivers with the Washington football team receiving core pretty low. Mm-hmm. I believe if you look at 2020, Curtis Samuel in Carolina, he was inside in the slot a lot. Mm-hmm. But go back to 2019 when Scott Turner was coaching down there, when Norv Turner was coaching down there, and they used Samuel a ton on the outside. I think they view him as an outside guy, and I believe they're going to move everybody around. Scott loves pre-snap motion. I think you're going to see a ton of that. But I think in my mind, it will be McLaurin, Curtis Samuel on the outside, Adam Humphries on the inside. And he said Cam Sims. I think Deami Brown is going to be ahead of Cam Sims.
Awesome.
Now, here's the thing. Wideouts, they're all going to play. They're all going to be in different packages. Mm-hmm. There's a million different formations and situations. It's not like offensive line where there's one guy that plays, and unless he gets hurt, he plays all the snaps. It's just a very different scenario.
Yeah, that's true. But I think when you look at these things here and you look at the comparisons, I think – Curtis Samuels has not consistently just been a receiver. He's been kind of a gadget guy.
Yeah.
So many people around the league.
I think there'll be some of that.
But many people around the league don't see him as that just outright straight receiver. Terry McLaurin gets all the praise that he deserves, and I think Terry McLaurin is a bad dude. Humphries has been injured over the last few years. So I think when they start ranking those guys, they're not going to rank them high. Deami Brown is a rookie, and we understand how most rookies play. So when you compare them to some guys who's been in this league, I don't think they're going to get the love that they deserve. And that shouldn't make a difference because Terry McLaurin came on the scene game one, his rookie season. You knew then this kid can play. And the perception of him changed instantly.
Totally. And I find this pretty interesting. So this is from, I want to get it right, Jordan Cohn, who works for Odyssey Sports. And he did a list of the best receiving groups in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Going from the bottom, number 32, Detroit Lions, 31, New York Jets, 30, Philadelphia Eagles, 29, New England Patriots. And that including tight ends, where they just spent a whole boatload of cash in New England. 28, Chicago Bears, 27, the Ravens, even though they used a first-round pick on Bateman and they acquired Sammy Watkins. 26, the Houston Texans. 25, the Indianapolis Colts. And guess who lands at number 24?
The football team.
The Washington football team. Here's what they wrote. The addition of Samuel adds another dimension, or two or three, to the Washington offense, seeing as he proved to be a versatile threat with over 1,000 yards from scrimmage in the same offense as Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and when healthy, Christian McCaffrey. Him, alongside the intriguing talents of McLaurin and Thomas out wide, gives Ryan Fitzpatrick a solid group to work with. What's more is that Antonio Gibson has sky-high expectations in year two, and that goes for his impact as a receiver as well. Gibson last season had 36 catches for 247 yards. I think that'll get closer to 400. But they got them 24th?
Yeah.
That seems awfully low, doesn't it, Landfill?
It seems low because we love Terry.
True.
We expect Samuels to step up and do some things, but they haven't seen him do it at the position that we expect him to do it. Humphries has been hurt. And we, in this town, we are looking at Diamond a certain way. A lot of other people are not looking at him like we look.
He wasn't even listed on this thing. So, number
if you don't have Diami, who else, if they list people other than...
B. Mitch and Finley, we're back. Back at Red Bull Friday. The Washington Nationals, out of nowhere, playing some good baseball.
After fire.
After a struggle fest to start the year, they've won four in a row. They've climbed to within five games of 500. And they're hosting a big-time series this weekend against the New York Mets. Home tonight, doubleheader tomorrow, home on Sunday. This is a chance to really change things up in the division. To discuss what's going on with the Nats, we're going to talk to Maria Torres on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Maria is the Nationals beat writer for The Athletic. You can follow her on Twitter at Maria_Torres3. Maria, how you doing? Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with what is going right for the Nats in the last week. Is it just playing a terrible Pirates team, or is something maybe starting to break the right way for the Nets?
You know, it's a great question. I think the primary thing is that the pitching has been really good. If I'm not mistaken, it's 7 runs over the last 7 games. Wow. That's no small feat for this team right now. If you guys remember, in April, you were seeing starters give up 8 and 10 runs, and it was just like a nightmare situation. So to see that that's a great improvement. Not to say that the starting and the rotation and the bullpen haven't been rather solid the last month or so, but this particular stretch is definitely keyed by that. And of course, yes, playing a Pirates team that's in last place. And, has one of the worst records in baseball. No, that does help. but I would say that, things are looking kind of promising. It's hard to really be completely optimistic at this time, but it is still June. It's only the middle of June.
I think when you look at the fact of Pirates being in the position they are, and you look at the talent level that they have, when you look at teams coming up, Mets and Padres and things of that nature, will that pitching, you think, be able to hold up against those squads like it did against the Pirates? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's the question that they're hoping they can answer positively. But it's hard. They're still missing Strasburg. There's not really a timetable for his return, although he did throw lightly on the field a couple of days ago, which is obviously a very good step. But even if things are going well in his in that domain, like he probably wouldn't be back until around the All-Star break, just because he would need to ramp back up and actually pitch in a couple of games. So they're missing him. And Max Scherzer is confident that he'll be off the IL next week. But, anything could happen between now and I believe Tuesday or Wednesday. So it's a hard question to answer because there's just so many question marks still around the rotation. It's not back to full strength yet. But, as long as if Joe Ross, Eric Fetty, John Lester, and you got guys like Paolo Espino stepping up, Jeffrey Rodriguez, those kind of guys can hold things down. Like it could be an encouraging little stretch here.
And what are they facing in this Mets team? The Mets are in first place. I think they're 10 games over 500 or 9. Mm-hmm. Mets have some elite pitching. Are they going to see DeGrom in this 4-game stretch? How are the Nets coming in hitting? What should Nats fans be expecting on the other side of the dugout?
I mean, that team has been, they've really kind of locked things down since the Nationals last played them. They're not going to see DeGrom. He last pitched, I think, on Wednesday, so that kind of puts him out of range. And he did leave that start, with a health concern, although that seems to be behind him for the moment. But they faced a really, really tough pitching staff. I mean, even without DeGrom, Stroman and Walker have been really good, and the offense is coming up as well. So it's not going to be easy by any means. It's definitely going to be on. It's going to be on the offense to really make the most of their opportunities, and that's honestly the Nationals' biggest weakness right now. Is that their offense just they had a really nice game Tuesday night with runners in scoring position, went 5 for 10. Scored 5 runs in the first inning. That was a great win. But then they came back and won by 2 runs the next day, and that they left a lot of opportunities there. They squandered a lot of opportunities, and you can't really do that against the Mets. They're not really going to give you a lot. So it's really important. It's really incumbent on the offense here to step things up for the next few days.
And that's the thing. Do you think this offense can stay like it's been as of late and consistent? Because that was an issue earlier this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure that they've really figured everything out yet. They're still, like I said, like
Schwarber hitting helps.
Schwarber hitting bombs definitely helps. And, you know, when Josh Bell is out there and can also do the same thing, that's really important. But you need everybody to step up in critical situations. So if they can continue that, then, yeah, I mean, it's just hard. There's still, you know, there's still stuff for them to work on. So we'll see.
What is I kind of feel like there's an opportunity tonight for maybe the first real sellout of a Nats game. You've got the Mets coming to town. The weather's nice. The Nats have been winning lately. What's it like back at the ballpark for you? I mean, even as a media member working, but also just kind of knowing the life, the kind of constant drumbeat that is baseball with fans back.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge to have fans back in the stadium. Last summer was a pretty desolate thing. I wasn't in Washington, but, you know, I was in California, and it was very odd to watch baseball games and with nobody in the stands to watch them with you. So, you know, that's a big thing. It's a, you know, it's a big adrenaline boost for players. And, you know, it's something that they comment on pretty regularly. I mean, I think now it's kind of maybe a little bit kind of wearing off a little, especially now since they've already, you know, had full capacity for a week. But yeah, the fact that this could potentially be a sellout, you mentioned too, like the federal holiday probably helps. You know, maybe people will be able to get off work a little earlier and get to the ballpark.
I think the federal government, nobody's working today.
Yeah, nobody's
right?
working today.
So, I mean, that's
a
big old employer in this area.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it could be a really good night for, you know, fans in the ballpark, like you mentioned.
Well, I'll be there. So there's one you can count on. I wanted to ask this briefly. Nats are 5 games out. They're 30-35. Their farm system is a mess. None of the big names have really panned out. Mm-hmm. I think they're rated at or near the bottom as far as prospects. Mm-hmm. Does even a little bit of a run now, say they split this series with the Mets, they get to the All-Star break, you know, around 500, 4 or 5 games under, when do they kind of really have to make their minds up about buying or selling at the deadline?
I mean, they still have some time. I would say the All-Star break will be a good, like, measuring point. I think, like, if they're over 500, that's probably where they want to be by the All-Star break. If they're over 500 and within kind of, I would say even, like, within, like, 5 games of the division lead, like, maybe that could be a time to start buying. However, like you mentioned, the farm system is not strong at all. And if you're trying to find like a really impact piece, like I just don't know from where, like I don't know how they would get that piece to contend.
They don't have really anything difficult. To give, right?
They can't afford to, right? Like the pieces that they do have, they can't afford to give up a Kay Cavalli. And anyone coming up, like, you know, and, you know, the infield prospects, like, who are still in the lower levels of the minor league, you can't really afford to give that up if you're trying to set up your organization for future success. So I would expect things if they decide to buy, and they're in a position to buy, I would not expect like a huge move. I would probably think more so on the margins of roster, like maybe.
You got to have something to buy something, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can't. There's just nothing. I mean, it's not nothing. There's just very little.
Right.
Too little. That's too little.
Too little is not good. Hey, Maria, we really appreciate your time. Maria. Hope everybody gives you a follow on Twitter at Maria_Torres3. Maybe we'll check in with you as we get closer to the All-Star break.
Yeah, please do. It was great talking with you guys.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. That is Maria Torres. She covers the Washington Nationals for The Athletic. It is time. We've been talking about Taylor Heinicke and Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot. Mm-hmm. There is quarterback stuff going on all over the NFL. I want to start in Chicago, and I want to get your take on what the Bears' plans are for Justin Fields. I want to talk about the quarterback stuff going on in New England. There is a lot we need to cover around the NFL. We're going to do that next. 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.